I ain't betting against that man from Akron, Ohio. I'm not betting against LeBron. If I'm Sam Darnold, I don't care how my career goes from here on. I could never smell the playoffs again. Doesn't matter. As soon as I touch down Carolina, I'm throwing a party. I decided to show a little bit of skin because we streaking, boys. Back. We live up in here. I don't want to hear no ifs, ands, or buts. This is my moment. What it do, baby? It's your boy Pride, and it's Pride's Prime Time, presented by Stir the Pot Sports. We're live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6. It's a Clovercrest Media Group production. The harder we work, the luckier we get, and we're streaming live on StreamYard. We got a jam-packed show today. We're going to be chatting a little bit of baseball, and feel me? I'm going to have a little thing in my game to watch, but first and foremost, I want to have a little bit of fun. See, there's been some rumors that Dame Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers, there's some friction going on. So I decided to play Where Should He Go? I'm going to take a guess on the trades that the Portland Blazers should do. And they have to be sensible. That's rule number one. They got to be sensible. They got to make sense for the team that's getting Dame and for the Portland Trailblazers in and of themselves. So this is going to be very fun. But the very first team I'm going to have to throw in there, and this is frankly is going to be obvious. I'm probably going to be like, people are going to be like, oh my God, how can you say that team? That's so obvious. I'm going to go with the New York Knicks. Now, obviously right now, the Knicks are in a position where they feel like if we have one more star at least, we can make a legitimate run. This regular season, they were the fourth seed, which frankly for them is pretty nice. So now the thing is, in their minds, they're like, what moves we can make? Maybe they can get a Damian Lillard. Now, this is the trade I'm going to propose for them. The Knicks will get Damian Lillard. The Blazers are going to get RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, Mitchell Robinson, and two first-round picks. See, the reason you need to give up some youth is because if they're trading Damian Lillard, it's going to be for one of two things. Either young players with potential or picks. See, the Knicks got both. They got them both. See, and the thing is, with RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, they're plug-and-play players. You can put them in and you can give them legitimate minutes, and they'll be able to help you and give you something. Obi Toppin is more kind of like a whole, oh, possibly, you know, in the future side, steal Dame. Exactly. That's exactly where I was going to go to next. Because now if you have Dame in there, imagine if they get Kawhi. Now it'll be Kawhi, Dame Lillard, and Julius Randle. That's a solid big three. You re-sign Derrick Rose, and you're not in the same position you were in the season that just passed. You're now in an even better position. Because now you can go out and you can make plays for other guys, like for other low-tier guys, for lack of a better term. You can try to make a play for them and try to get them to help boost the roster. So if I'm the Knicks, I'm definitely calling. Again, for the Blazers, makes perfect sense. You're getting three young players, all who have potential, and you're also getting first-round picks. And what's nice about it, let's say they don't want to keep them and come the trade deadline, they can now move those pieces. Let's say they give up and want a full-blown rebuild. They can now move those pieces to get even more picks. So, honestly, if the Knicks call them with this deal and they say no, office moves need to be made. But team number two, and this one I'll admit, of the teams I picked, this is a stretch. But I'm going to go to the Denver Nuggets. Now, again, imagine Jamal Murray, Damian Lillard, and Nikola Jokic on the court. Just close your eyes. Let's do a little exercise. Close your eyes and imagine that. Imagine how devastating that would be. And the thing is, Damian Lillard could potentially unlock a deeper game in Jamal Murray's game. It's a possibility. Now, who do we have to give up? This is the trade I'm going to propose. The Denver Nuggets obviously are going to get Damian Lillard. The Blazers are going to get Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Monte Morris, Will Barton, and a first-round pick. Now, the thing is, they've wanted, like, Portland has been trying to make a move for Aaron Gordon for years now. They've been fiending for him for years, and this is the best moment, the best opportunity for Portland to get him. So you get him, you get a young star. I said star. You don't like it? Come fight me. A young star in Michael Porter Jr. to pair with CJ. Then you have another young guy in Monte Morris who, frankly, again, him and Will Barton, both with an average in double digits. So you now have other guys, like two guys you can have them come off the bench, give you a little bit of scoring. And again, I mean, me personally, again, if you would want youth, and again, this trade would obviously have to be centered around Michael Porter Jr., obviously, and obviously with the first round pick. But let's say they say we want Jamal Murray and we'll take no for an answer. That's fine. Just take Michael Porter out of the trade and put Jamal Murray in his place. But the thing is, if you're Denver, you need to put your foot down and say it's one or the other. That's it. You can't just be like, oh man, let's try to. No, it's one or the other. And personally, the first one I would try to give up, and this sounds harsh, but it's going to be Michael Porter Jr. And the only reason I'm going to give him up first is because I have more faith in Jamal Murray going forward rather than Michael Porter Jr. But again, I could be tripping. You feel me? I don't even watch basketball, so I don't even know why I'm even talking. The third team I'm going to throw in there is Philly. So remember how I said the Denver Nuggets one was a reach? This Philly one, I'm going to say it, pure stupidity. Right now, the very little credibility I have to speak basketball is going to go out the window with this. Oh, man. So the 76ers will get Damian Lillard. The Blazers are going to get Ben Simmons, George Hill, and two first round picks. If anyone's a Philadelphia fan, I'm sorry. The complaint that people have been having is that Ben Simmons just can't shoot. If we're just talking offense, imagine swapping Ben Simmons, a guy who can't shoot, for Damian Lillard, who is one of the most prolific shooters we have in the game today. And you expect me not to take that? I'm taking that trade so fast. Look, I like Ben Simmons. I like the defense he could bring. I love it. I get it. No disrespect to him whatsoever. But if you have him running the point, him and Embiid, that's a 1-2 punch, and at worst, you're getting a concussion. That you're getting a concussion at worst, bro. Or at least, to me, again, I love Ben Simmons. I think he has the potential to get a shot. But as for right now, the Sixers aren't in any position where, oh, we can wait for him. They're more in the position of we have to win now. Now, why did this trade make sense for the Blazers? Now, with the Blazers, you get Ben Simmons, who already is going to elevate your defense. He'll be a solid running mate to CJ. And with George Hill, yeah, you'll get a guy who can come off the bench and give you points. And again, George Hill is still a sought-after commodity. Teams still want him. So let's say things aren't working out. You can put him on the block and you can trade him and you can still get something for him. So again, with every single one of these trades, the Blazers have room to maneuver. They have opportunities to be like, okay, it's not working out. Let's get rid of somebody. In each of these trades, you can't, they have somebody they could potentially move on from. For instance, like in the New York one, it's Obi Toppin who they can go ahead and let free. When it comes to the Damian I'm sorry, to the Nuggets trade, Monte Morris and Will Barton, again, even though they're not highly prolific guys, they're still solid guys that come off the bench and give you points. And in the 76ers one, George Hill, another guy, he'll still be able to give you some solid production. And a lot of teams, especially contending title teams, they're gonna want him. So I mean, again, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not a whiz when it comes to this stuff. This is just stuff that I just thought off the top of my head because, look, if Damian Lillard really leaves, whatever they get, they're not gonna get nothing better for Damian Lillard. That's just the like they're going around as for instance, like for my Celtics, they're asking, oh, we won't take the trade unless Jaylen Brown is in there. Okay, then don't call us because we're like, and I, honestly, if Brad Stevens does that, I'm gonna be the first one to say he should be fired. Period. What the Blazers need to understand, we need to get young guys and picks. And we need to also get guys, let's say he's an older guy, a guy we can still maneuver and wheel and deal so that way we can get something in return. That's the mindset they need to have. Now, whether or not they'll have that mindset, only time will really tell. Damian Lillard wants to stay, but at the same time, he kind of wants to leave. So right now, he's kind of in limbo. So it's all really going to be on what the Blazers do in terms of the future. But I want to keep this prediction game still going on a little bit. So let's talk some MLB awards, regular season awards. See, we're gonna be chatting about Manager of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, and MVP. So let's start with the Manager of the Year for the NL, Gabe Kapler. I mean, out there managing the Giants. Shout out to him. The Giants were dog water last year, right? And no one expected them to be any better. No one. But now this year, they are in contention to win their division. A division that has both the Dodgers and the Padres. I don't know how this man is doing it, but I'm telling you right now, he, and if you look at the roster doesn't have really that many eye-popping names, but they play smart. They're listening to them. Like when he tells them to do something, he listens. They hustle for him. And when I see the type of hustle they're doing, for me, that's the type of hustle that reminds me of like a low tier team that loves their manager and will straight up do whatever it takes for him. And that's kind of what I see with him. And for AL, I'm about to get sloppy. The greatest organization to ever grace Scott's Green. Look at this man. I wish he was my father. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, there's a picture of Alex Cora on the screen. I wish he was my father. The greatest organization to ever grace Scott's Green Earth, residing in Massachusetts, the Boston Red Sox. AO. We went in the AL, bro. We go to the World Series, and it's because of this man right here. Alex Cora is a guy who holds everybody accountable, but at the same time, he ain't mean. He ain't rude. He ain't an ass. You feel me? He'll check you if you need to be checked. But at the same time, if you're doing something right, he'll clap for you. He'll give you an applause. And that's what we need. And oh my goodness, we're winning the World Series. But let me stop because, again, I'm getting a little too sloppy. Next, Rookie of the Year. For the NL, we got Cabrian Hayes. Plays for Pittsburgh. Look, this kid, he's batting .316 with a .658 slugging and a 1.124 on-base percentage. And again, I'm not trying to be mean to the kid. Nobody's really been paying attention to him because it's Pittsburgh. The only thing Pittsburgh was known for this year was when Javier Baez got in a rundown. And I'm not missaying this. He got in a rundown between first and home plate. I'm going to say that one more time. He got in a rundown between home and first base. And the man still not only was safe, managed to get to second. That's the only thing the Pittsburgh Pirates were known for this year. That's it. But if you squint your eyes and look a little harder, this kid, I like him. He's got a glove. He's energetic. The sky's the limit for him. And another guy who's sky's the limit, I don't care what Tommy La Russa says. I don't care. Swing 3-0 every time, papi. Your man Mercedes. Oye, chico, look at this man. Look at him. Look, this is the dude who just, with everything that's been going on, this dude hits a home run 3. Oh, his manager tries to ridicule him. What does the man do? I don't care. Mira loco, yo tiro más por allá. My man's out here hitting dingers. I love him. He's got a great future. 259, 37 RBI, 7 homers. The guy knows how to make contact. Regards, and when he's on the base path, he's smart. There's not he don't pull a Gary Sanchez and always wants to do a hit and run. Nah, bro. He understands himself. He knows, look, on the base path, I'm not the best. But what I don't have is speed. I make for Maika for it and IQ. And that's why I like this guy. And so those two are going to be my rookies of the year. Now, the Cy Young Award. I feel like this is not even a discussion. In terms, just hear me out. In terms of the NL. Now, the AL is a little sloppy. So let me start with the AL because that's the one I'm going to have to do more convincing. I'm going to say Lance Lynn, the pitcher over from Chicago. Look, he's 7-1. ERA of 1.23, and he has a shutout to his name, and he's got over 73 strikeouts. So far, I do like him, and I do believe he has the potential to win it. Now, is he going to win it? It is too early to say it, but I will say this right now. I will say this. Look at this. I wish I had his beard. Look at that. Brandon Moreno. Yeah, shout out to him, but again, I promised late I wasn't going to talk about it, but shout out to him. Congratulations, first Mexican-born UFC champion. Dude definitely came out, but I'm not gonna spoil it too much because we're gonna talk about that on Monday. But Lance Lynn, I'm gonna have to give it to him. He goes out, he's calm. He goes out and he tries to dominate. And speaking of dominance, if anyone here watches Sturdy Pod Sports, we all know I hate New York. I hate everything about it. I hate the subways, I hate the train, I hate the smell, I hate the Yankees, I hate the Mets, I hate all of them. But there's one man I'll save. One man, New York is falling down. That man right there, number 48, Jacob DeGrom. Look at this guy. I wish we had him. I really do. Look. If you have a name in the NL for Cy Young other to win the award other than Jacob DeGrom, that means that Jacob DeGrom is doing so great, he doesn't deserve the award, and we're going to rename the Cy Young Award the Jacob DeGrom Award. That's the only way I will take and I will accept a name other than Jacob DeGrom. 0.59 ERA. First of all, who has an ERA under one? The best pitcher in the game right now, Jacob DeGrom. The slash line that the guys are batting against him, 128, 170, 259. Google the word dominance, and guess what you're going to see? You're going to see his face. You're going to see Jacob DeGrom, bro. That's who you're going to see. I don't care what anybody says. Jacob DeGrom is the Cy Young for the NL. The only way he does not win is if tomorrow he retires. That's it. If he's playing, that's it. And dare I say, and maybe I'm being a cornball here. Maybe I'm just being a little biased. But this guy is having not only one of the greatest regular seasons of all time, this guy could possibly and arguably go down as one of, if not the greatest pitcher, not in Mets history. No. I'm going one step further. MLB history. So I don't care what nobody says. Jacob DeGrom is going to be the winner of the Cy Young Award. Now let's go on to MVP. So now, MVP, I'll be honest. This one right here is more of a bias, right? This one is very biased. Okay, so I'm going to my two favorite guys that I love to watch. Fernando Tatis Jr. Oye, loco, mira, this guy. Oh, look at him. Look at him, bro. When I was looking for the photos, I had to use this photo. And I get it. Everyone has seen it because that's the photo they used to hype up MLB 21. Look, bro, I don't care if they use it for 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. I will put it on the screen 26 times if I have to. This photo of this guy right here, I love it. This guy, he's definitely the future. 297 batting average, 18 home runs, 13 stolen bases, and an OPS of 1.123. When's the last time you saw a guy steal, accidentally overslide the bag, and to not be out, do a split? When's the last time we saw a guy do a split to avoid getting hit? When's the last time we saw a 20? He's younger than me. And my man got a, if I'm not mistaken, a 13-year deal? Am I supposed to vote against him? No, I can't vote against him. So it's going to be him. And the second guy, the guy for the AL, Shohei Ohtani. Look, this kid. Look at this. This kid is phenomenal. His bat is electric. And it's crazy because usually when pitchers pitch, right, it's weird because a lot of the times their eye doesn't transition to the plate. Now with Shohei Ohtani, 17 homers, 45 RBIs. And yo, he got 9 steals to his name too. And as for pitching, he's got a 2.87 ERA and a whip of 116, which both of them are among the best in all of Major League Baseball. And guess what? He's gonna be MVP. I don't care what nobody says. Period. And again, if you have any problem with my list, do me a favor. Put on some glasses. Come see me. We'll go see a game. Then after that, keep those glasses because you're gonna need to write an apology for disrespecting and slandering the names of the gentlemen I put up there. I'm just throwing that out there right now. But we're gonna go from exciting players in the league to a game I'm very excited myself to watch. And it's Pride primetime game to watch, presented by Rocky Hill Accountants. With over 35 years of combined experience, Rocky Hill Accountants are the experts that you need to handle all your accounting financial needs. Let the experienced experts handle your financials. Let them know that your boy Price sent you. So the game I'm imploring you guys. At first, I was going to say Clippers and Jazz. I really was. I was this close to saying it. But after I took a step back, I'm calling it the Bucks and the Nets. And the main reason is because the last game, the Bucks felt like their defense is what put the Nets in the funk. And the Nets feel we just had a poor shooting night. So this is a very pivotal game right now. It's going to be today at 3. You know, the Bucks definitely need this game to stay alive. Forget what they needed desperately to stay alive. James Harden's ruled out again. So they need to capitalize this to make it 2-2. Because once they get to 2-2, dare I say, the Nets might be in trouble. And the reason I'm saying they might be in trouble is because if the Bucks win this game, all of a sudden, all the momentum is gone from the Nets side. All the momentum now falls with the Bucks. Again, the main point that the Bucks want to prove is that they had a poor night because of us. That's what they want to prove. They're probably going to go out with the same game plan to attack the role players. If they're smart, that's what they do. And they see, okay, was it our defense or did these dudes just have an off night? And look, KD's going to go out and get whatever he wants. That's a given. There's no debate there. And so will Giannis. They're both going to go out there and do their thing. Now it's like, okay, the role players, who could, are we going to get another great game from Chris Middleton? Is that a possibility? Or is it Jrue Holiday's turn to step up? These are questions that the Bucks have. And in terms for the Nets, okay, we had a bad shooting night. Let's prove it. We're going to go out there. We're going to score. Can we get Blake Griffin a little more involved? Is that possible? Because they're going to need the role players to step up. Jeff Green is questionable. If they have him back, I don't know if they'll force him to get shots, but they're going to need him to get shots. Because, again, you're now reliant on young guys who I don't want to say that the moment is too big for them, but you're relying on young guys who frankly don't understand the concept of if I have a wide open lane, let me drive, cause everything to collapse, and then swing it to KD. These are the type of guys that the Nets are playing with. Everyone, you know, so me personally, I think this is going to be a great game to watch. I think this game will symbolize where the rest of this series goes. Because again, if they can tie it up 2-2, if the Bucks can, I personally believe they're putting themselves in a solid place to maybe win this in 7. They're putting themselves in that position. Again, all of it is going to come down to their defense and who's going to be the second guy to step up. I'm a little nervous about Middleton being that guy, so that's why if I have to take a guess, I think Jrue Holiday is going to be the guy who's going to step up and give Giannis a little bit of extra help. Because I can't see I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm crazy. Before I came down here, I smoked a little bit. But I just can't – I don't see Chris Middleton doing this two games in a row. I think he's going to – defensively, he's going to do his thing. He's going to, you know, be trouble. But in terms of scoring, again, the Bucks, everyone had a sloppy game. Let's call it what it is. If you weren't Chris Middleton or if you weren't Giannis, you had a sloppy game. And KD had a sloppy game too, to his standard though. I'm compared to his standard. He kind of did have a little bit of a sloppy game. This is going to be very interesting. I think if PJ Tucker disrespects KD again, they're going to have to fight. They're going to have to fight. Because I'm not going to say it because what he said was a no-no word. All I know is PJ Tucker said that to the man's face and the dude and KD didn't want nothing. The reason I bring that up is because there's another battle, a mental battle, that no disrespect to Kevin Durant, he's not gonna win. He's not gonna win. Not to say he's a bum or anything like that, but the issue with him is this is a guy who I'm a nobody. Really, I'll keep it a buck. I'm a nobody. I don't know anything. I'm stupid. If I say this all the time, if I took an IQ test, I would owe points. But I'll tweet Kevin Durant, you a loser. The dude will tweet back at me 15 times. This is a guy who mentally is not really that tough. I mean, you almost saw. PJ Tucker said one thing to him. Dude almost crying. Why are you so mean to me? This is a guy that we're working with. So, again, expect the Bucks to play not only physical, but here's some chirping. Because, again, when you're facing a guy who, frankly, is not that mentally tough and any little thing you say could set him off, run your mouth. Get Bobby Portis. When KD goes up, go up. He gets one block on him. I need Bobby Portis to disrespect him. Look, bro, you can get dunked on 15 times. Once you get that one block, run your mouth. Be like me. Run your mouth to the point where people telling you to shut up because you're so annoying. You get a block the third quarter, I want you to bring that block up again. It don't matter how many times he dunked on you again. Period. Yo, PJ. Strip the ball from him in the second quarter. Okay? Fourth quarter with 3 seconds left. I want you to call a timeout, go up to Kevin Durant and say, I snatched the ball from you. This is what the Bucks need to do. Because you need to get under their skin, especially Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant, by far, no debate, is the best player on that Nets team. If you can get under his skin, get in his head, woo, it's going to be crazy. Now, again, I'm personally... I think the Bucks will win. And I think that because, like I said, we spoke about this on Stir the Pot Sports. I believe the defense, the Bucks defense on the role players, is kind of what forced the Nets to kind of at times look a little lost. Because there's times where Kevin Durant would pass the ball to Kyrie, and Kyrie would then pass the ball, let's say, Blake. And then Blake would be like, oh, no. Like, they wouldn't know what to do. So, and again, I personally believe it was the Bucks defense. The Nets believe we just had an off night. So, I think the Bucks will be able to win this. I think it's going to be a close game again. I don't think it's going to be in the 80s again. I think we're probably going to look closer. If I had to take a guess, I'd say 108-105. And like I said, I got the Bucks winning. I still think it's gonna be a close game. But again, this is a very pivotal game for the Bucks, because if the Bucks go down 3-1, this roster is not constructed to come back from 3-1. If the Nets were down 3-1, I think they have more of a chance compared to the Bucks, because at least with Brooklyn, you got KD who could pull up from 30, and he's taking over. He can take over games, so at least you have that. When it comes to the Bucks, you don't really have that. So if they go down 3-1, don't even bother watching Game 5, because it's going to be a wrap. You see what I'm saying? So, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're going to be in for at least a 6-game series. I got the Bucks. Please don't let me down, Giannis. Because if anyone knows, I despise Giannis with great intensity. I'm not a fan of his at all. I don't want to say I hate him, but I hate him. And the fact that I'm kind of rooting for him right now makes me sick to the point where I don't even want to watch basketball. So, Giannis, if you let me down, so God help me, I will do absolutely nothing, because you will probably kill me. But I will never watch another Bucks game ever in my life. So, but again, that's enough for me, guys. Thanks for spending some time with your boy. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Stir the Pot Sports. Follow us on Twitter, ran by your boy over here, at Stir the Pot Sport. Check us out on our website at clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports. And we're on Spotify. We are on Spotify at CMG Sports. And then after that, you look up Stir the Pot, you'll see the lovely logo. And that'll be us right there. It's been real. I'm your boy Pride. I'll be here you guys will catch me on Stir the Pot every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6. I will be here every Sunday at 11 with Pride's Prime Time. Be safe, and I'll see you all real soon.
He is not. And Tatis drives one to deep left field. He drives one to the moon. High, deep, and very good.
Shot, he's got a touchdown! But a good wingspan. And a good move. It'll be so.